Pray with me the prayer for illumination for God's Word. Guide us, O Lord, by your Word and your Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace, through the working of Jesus Christ our Lord. Give us open hearts and open hearts to understand your words for us today. As we ask this in Jesus' precious name, amen. Our scripture lesson this morning is from the book of Jeremiah the prophet. It's in two readings. It's chapter 1, 4 through 10, and then skipping down to chapter 7, verses 1 to 11. Now hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. "Stand at the gates of the Lord's house and there proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judea who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, 'This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord.' If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave your forefathers, forever and ever. But look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal and follow other gods you have not known, and then come stand before me in this house, which bears my name, and say, 'We are safe.' Safe to do all these detestable things? Has this house, which bears my name, become a den of robbers? But I have been watching, declares the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. And there ends our reading for this morning. Thanks be to God for his holy word. And I'd invite the children, and they don't need an invitation, do they? Boom, they're here.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to sit on the first step. I was so lucky because I got to see all these friends already this morning, right? Can everybody see me? Henry.
And you
I can't see your beautiful face.
And
Henry,
you get to see
Henry, come over by Mrs. Weiss. Can you come sit right down here? I would love to see your face right here. Thank you. Nope, but only Mrs. Weiss can use. Shh. Only listening ears, otherwise I can't show you what's in my bag. How's everybody?
Good.
So happy to see everybody. Well, I love this weekend because, no, Henry, I need you to sit right here. Thank you. I love this weekend because you know what? We just had one of my favorite holidays. What did we just celebrate? We did, Thanksgiving. So I have two things on a piece of paper I want you to look at. See if you, some of my friends who can read, I know can read this. I wrote out two words.
Thanks.
Thanks. Oh, good reading.
Giving.
Giving. And you know what I like to say? Giving thanks. That's what Thanksgiving's about, giving thanks. I have a song I sing with my friends in school. It goes like this. Let's give thanks for all we have. Let's give thanks for all we have. Let's give thanks for all we have. And we clap while we're singing it. And then we say, we are thankful for, and Mrs. Weiss always says, my family and all my friends, like
Wait,
you.
You're a teacher?
I'm a teacher. Did you know that? So that's what I love to sing. And then we have another one that goes like this. I'm thankful for my friends and my family. I'm thankful for the food I eat. I'm happy to be me. And we are. We're so thankful. Do you know what I'm thankful for, though, more than anything in the whole world? Pastor Chris's sermon, you know what it says today? God knows us. He knows me, Mrs. Weiss. He knows Hudson. Wait, he knows Holland. He knows Henry and Daniel and Emily. And he knows Scott. And he knows Ethan. He knows all of you and all the moms and dads. One second, Holland. All the moms and dads, all the grandmas and grandpas, everybody here. He knows all of us.
You know what I'm thankful for?
What are you thankful for?
Animals.
Animals. What are you thankful for, Hudson?
My geckos.
My geckos. What are you thankful for?
My cars.
Your cars. What are you thankful for? Emily. How about you, Emily?
My friends and family.
My friends and family. What about you, buddy?
Chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets, that's a great thing to be thankful for. What about you?
My toys.
My toys. There's so many things we can be thankful for, that's for sure. And you know what? We're getting ready for somebody's birthday. Emily had a birthday on Friday, so happy birthday to Emily and so many other birthdays going on. Happy birthday to Henry and Holland. Well, we sang, remember? We sang to you. So guess what? We are getting ready for somebody's birthday. We're going to start preparing for whose birthday's coming. We started talking about it this morning.
Who is it?
Whose birthday?
No.
Who knows?
Jesus.
We're getting ready for the greatest gift of all to be thankful for. Yeah. And you know what? I do have something very special in this bag that our very special friend, Mrs. Kaiser, right there. So I want you to look at Mrs. Kaiser and say, thank you, Mrs. Kaiser.
Thank you, Mrs. Kaiser.
Because you know what she got everybody? An Advent calendar. And guess what? When we see an Advent calendar behind every door, it tells us something about we're getting ready for Christmas. So I'm going to give everybody one of those, but after we pray, okay? And I want you to remember, every day is Thanksgiving. Every day is for giving thanks, because everything we have comes from God. And you know what one of the verses that Mr. Galloway read? Jeremiah said, I'm only a child. I can't do what you're asking me to do. Guess what? Yes, you can, because God helps us to do it. He's given everybody, Ethan and Scott and Emily and Daniel and Henry and Holland and Hudson, all of us our jobs to do. He has given all of us our jobs to do. Could be a veterinarian. Let's pray together, friends. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for these beautiful children, and we're so thankful for everyone here today. And we're thankful for everything that you've given to us, and most especially, we now get ready for the birth of Jesus. So thankful, Lord, that he's our Lord and Savior. And we just pray, Lord, that your love and light will always shine forth from our lives so others will know you too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we can't open these until next week because Advent doesn't start till then. So I'm going to give everybody one on their way out. And thank you again to Mrs. Kaiser. So kind. Here you go, Ethan. Is that everybody? Hudson and Scott, I think you guys ran. And Daniel, so fast, I don't think you got one. Scott, come here, friend. Daniel. Here you go. Scott, do you want yours? Holland, could you give this to Scott? Did Hudson get his? I guess so. Okay, good, Hudson. Thank you, hon.
The Advent calendars are always the highlight of the season at the Jacobson house. We put up the tree yesterday, a couple days ago, I guess, and the kids wanted to get out their Advent calendars immediately and start playing with them. And we had to tell them to wait. It's not Advent yet. It's coming. Don't worry. It's right around the corner. In fact, next Sunday, the first Sunday in the season of Advent. But December 1st, you open that little door and you get your little chocolate out, and it's that sweet foretaste of what is to come. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we've been talking about the prophets on Sundays over the last few weeks. Last week we heard from the prophet Isaiah, who was prophesying to the city of Jerusalem. We have to fast forward about 70 years this week to our prophet Jeremiah, who is also in Jerusalem. But now, instead of talking about what is going to happen to the northern kingdom of Israel no longer exists. Assyria has come in, completely wiped it out, and now we're only left with Judah and Benjamin, the two southern tribes, what is known as Judah or Judea, as it's sometimes translated. Hard times in Judah, though. Jeremiah is a prophet over the course of 40 years, which is a long time to be a prophet. It's a long time to listen for the voice of God and proclaim it to the people. I love these opening lines of the book of the prophet Jeremiah, though, don't you? Where God says to Jeremiah, I have known you since you were in your mother's womb. I've created you for this purpose. You are going to proclaim my words, and your message will be multifaceted. You're going to tear down and destroy. You are going to pluck up. You are going to plant. You are going to build. It's a good thing that Jeremiah feels as if God has known him for his entire life, because such a varied message, hard to get across, especially in uncertain times. We live in uncertain times. We see the stock market bounce around. We see war. We see terrorism. Living so close to New York City, terrorism is often on our minds. In an era of such gun violence against places of houses of worship, the topic of many of our clergy association gatherings here in Wyckoff are, how are you protecting your congregation? What measures are you taking to make sure your congregation is safe? A couple of the churches, synagogues here in town, have armed guards at the door. It's very present in our minds. These are uncertain times that we live in. It's comforting for me to know that God knows us in the midst of times such as this. To know that we are so intimately known by our Father in heaven, that we are protected, that we are safe. We might not always feel safe. It's not always our experience. But to have this in the opening words of this book of Jeremiah, that God knows, Jeremiah, that we are known at the very core of our being, and that we're called, that we have a purpose in life. Life is not meaningless. We don't just flit about here and there, but God has placed us on a course. And the place where we are today, we are in because God has something for us in that place. It might be a place of feeling good, feeling happy, birth of a new baby, celebrating a new job, looking forward to a celebration of Christmas, putting up decorations and things. Or it might be in a place of hardship or worry, mourning the death of a loved one, placing a loved one in hospice care, uncertainty around a job situation, companies being bought and sold, and not knowing when you show up one day if you're going to have a job or not. Uncertainty around health and illness, diagnoses of cancer or ailments that we're suffering from that we don't know the cause of, they can't seem to figure out. In good times and in uncertain times, it's comforting to know that the place that we find ourselves in is exactly where God would have us be. It's a place where God nurtures us, cares for us, perhaps calls us to rely more deeply on God, or perhaps has placed a message on us to proclaim to someone else. Jeremiah's call is a call to comfort those who feel afflicted and to afflict those who are feeling comfortable. Which brings us to chapter 7 of this text, which Bill read for us. Jeremiah is speaking to those who are churchgoers, folks who are going to the temple. And they are claiming that because they are temple goers, that they are safe, that they don't have to worry about what else they do because of their religious practices. Claiming we're in the temple of God, the temple of God, the temple of God. It's a safe place. It's a sanctuary. Because we are here, it must mean that God has blessed us. And Jeremiah says, wrong answer. Because you're going and you're claiming to worship, but then you leave and you do whatever the heck you want. You live according to your own script. It's particularly interesting, I think, that Jeremiah lists off the different commandments. He says, you're worshiping idols, you're committing adultery, you're bearing false witness, you're creating graven images, you're sacrificing to Baal, you're lying, you're stealing, you're doing all of these things. And yet, you come to the temple for Sabbath, you offer your sacrifice, and you think you're all good. It sort of is a echo from our study from Micah from a couple of weeks ago. Does the Lord want all of these religious shows, 1,000 burnt offerings, offering children, offering all of these things? What does the Lord your God require? To do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God. We were talking about this in Sunday school a little bit this morning. I think of the people I have conversations with who tell me they don't go to church. They don't need to go to church. They can worship God wherever they are. Doesn't matter. And in fact, it's better that they do that than come and worship with a bunch of hypocrites. Yes, that's all of you and me. And we should own that because we are. In one way or another, we are all hypocrites. None of us perfectly following what God would require of us. None of us perfectly doing justice, loving mercy, walking humbly with God. All of us falling short. These words from the prophet Jeremiah calling the people to repentance, well, they should sit with us uncomfortably as a reminder to us that we've never actually arrived, that we are never in a place where we can feel comfortable resting on the laurels of our faith. We are never in a place where we can't learn something, where we can't grow in some way. It's appropriate this morning that we gather at the table of our Lord, because food reminds us of our need to continue eating. We don't eat once and say, okay, I'm good, never need to eat again. Not even on Thanksgiving, where you eat like four times as much as you should. You still need to eat, even if it takes like a week or so to work all of that off. You will need to eat again. In the same way, the prophet Jeremiah calls us to remember our need to rely on God, our need to repent, our need to grow. That we are never in a place where we can be so comfortable that we don't have to worry about that anymore. It's helpful sometimes to ask questions about ourselves and our own faith life to see if we are on the right track with this. Are we living more generously now than we were before? Are we loving more broadly than we were before? Are we welcoming and accepting more people than we were before? Are we living our lives with less fear than we were before? Are we feeling in our lives of faith more freedom and more joy than we were before? Depending on the answer to each one of these questions, yes or no, we can have a sense of whether what we do when we gather together here in this place is on the right track. If our worship of God causes us to have deeper love for our neighbor, for the stranger in our midst, then I think our worship is true, spirit-led, on the right track. But if what we do in this place causes us to feel more self-righteous, more flexible in patting ourselves on the back, capable of looking down at others and wondering why they can't be as righteous as we are, then we are beginning to stray dangerously close to what the prophet Jeremiah is calling those in the temple to be about. We get dangerously close to worshiping our own selves, our own sense of spirituality, rather than the Holy Spirit who calls us. And so we gather week after week after week to feast on this word, to repent, to ask for forgiveness, and to be filled with words of new life that cause us to go out into the world and be more loving. And so as we gather around the table of our Lord here in just a few minutes, may it remind us of our constant need to depend on our Lord, our constant need to repent, and the constancy of the love of Jesus Christ that was with us before we were even born and follows us closely beyond the day that we die. Friends, this is the good news. The gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads together. Almighty God, we thank you for calling us, for giving us talents and gifts to use in service to you. We thank you for opportunities to exercise those gifts. We also thank you for opportunities like today to look deeply at ourselves, at our own lives, to gauge how we are growing with you. Lord, help us to have a true sense of ourselves. Help us to see ourselves clearly, that we might hear from you what it is we must do next, what that next step of faith is in our lives. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.